Good afternoon, Sumner County. Welcome to The Loyal Opposition, a show based on the American ideal that nations like ours benefit when government reflects a diversity of voices and makes space for dissent. That's why we're here, to air the voice of dissent to the supermajority's policies and ideas. I am your host, Len Asante, Sumner County's most controversial radio host, if you read the Facebook pages of the Sumner County Constitutional Republicans, although they do call me a podcaster, and I take that as a personal insult. I haven't had podcasting class yet. It is 5:01 p.m., 81 degrees and cloudy here in beautiful downtown Portland, going down to 64 degrees tonight. Sunset will be before the show is over. First time this year we can say that. First time this season we can say that. Sunset is at 6:50. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, high of 88, low of 63. So summer kind of on the way out, but not going down without a fight. All right, we have got an excellent show for you guys today. We have two guests are going to talk to us about some very interesting national security matters. We have got David and we have got Cole. Guys, say hello to everybody.
Hello, Sumner County.
Hello, and I'm very happy to be in Portland.
Are you now?
I believe that's the city's motto, right?
Home of the strawberry, right? All right. Well, we are very glad you're here. Okay, before we get to these two guys, got a couple of things to talk about. Hey, we have we've got some minor Republican antics on the radar screen. Got a report the other day from indicating our first reports of Kamala Harris sign stealing in Sumner County. In the Indian Hills neighborhood of Goodlettsville and in the Mansker Farms neighborhood in Hendersonville. Of course, all is fair in love, war, and politics. However, sign stealing probably doesn't do too much to influence the outcome of elections, is against the law, and is probably a reaction to having, I don't know, a less than standard IQ, or, you know.
Ouch.
Well, I was going to talk about other less than standard size things, but I figured that's probably not good to talk about on the radio. All right, so we'll go with IQ instead. All right. Folks, if you
this is a morning show now.
This is a morning right now. Folks, if your sign is stolen, you want to contact the Sumner County Democratic Party at www.sumnerdems.org, and they can get you on the list for a new sign. And, of course, you can report the theft to your local police department, because it is against the law to steal signs out of people's yards. The Sumner County Democrats are having a shipment of signs coming in before the end of the month, and you'll be able to get your hands on one real soon. Okay, let's see, what else is going on? Gloria Johnson, speaking of Democrats, Gloria Johnson was in Gallatin last week for an event, very well attended, and raised a ton of money. And this was another example of the excitement around the upcoming elections in Democratic circles, really thinking we can make a dent in Tennessee and nationwide in the supermajority's ideas and policies that do not benefit or represent the majority of Tennesseans. So that was good to see. Finally, a little bit more news out of Millersville, a little bit of good news for a change out of Millersville. And folks, as you know, if you've been listening and watching News Channel 5, where Phil Williams has been doing a series of stories on what's going on in Millersville. So if you don't believe me, just tune into Channel 5. The Millersville police 5 months ago arrested the former mayor of Millersville on trumped up charges of issuing a fake building permit for the Millersville Fire Department. Turns out those charges, like I said, were trumped up, and they were dropped yesterday after 5 months. And allegations that this is all due to politics, that the former mayor, in opposition to the city commission, and the city commission, allegedly controlled by certain elements of certain Republican groups in Sumner County. And so at least justice was done. But this, folks, this is important. Okay, this is important. For 5 months, this guy was under the microscope, part of this in the system, so to speak. He was arrested, he was booked, he was detained, and for 5 months he had this looming over his shoulders, and all for nothing but petty politics, and that is just sad. And it is not unique. We see this all the time. Like I said earlier, everything seems to be fair in love, war, and politics, and what people do and what people say have repercussions. Right? We have repercussions. This guy's life was put into turmoil for 5 months over petty political differences that, in the grand scheme of things, don't really mean much outside of a small town in a small suburban county in a small state in the country. But for this guy, it was a painful 5 months. The people in Ohio and Colorado probably feel in the same way, right? Springfield, Ohio, residents reeling from completely false allegations perpetrated by the Trump campaign, both Vice President candidate Vance and candidate Trump, presidential candidate Trump, over alleged illegal Haitian immigrants eating pets, dogs and cats and so forth. And as that turned out, it was completely false. In fact, one thing I read today was that members of the Vance campaign team reached out to the Springfield mayor's office, talked to the city manager, and asked them if the allegations, if there was any truth to these rumors that were going around. And the city manager said no, categorically, absolutely not true whatsoever. And yet they still ran with it. They knew it was false, and they said it anyway. Okay, and folks, this isn't some left-wing media outlet telling this story. This was the Wall Street Journal, okay? So, you know, if I'm a member of the left-wing lamestream media, don't listen to me. Read the Wall Street Journal, which is pretty far out there on the right, and that's what they reported. Okay, so the campaign used the rumors to their advantage, even though they knew it was false, just for short-term political gain. That hurt literally thousands of people. Schools shut down. Kids had a school, got to go to school virtually, and the Haitian community, many of whom there are there legally as refugees, suffered the consequences. Fortunately, there was also a great story about how many of the residents of Springfield were supporting their Haitian brothers and sisters by eating at the Haitian restaurants in town, giving those business owners a needed boost to their bottom line. So, folks, it's important to talk about the issues in politics. But, and there are legitimate issues facing our country and issues that the candidates need to address on both sides. However, when we make this stuff up, when we pull stuff out of thin air, and it has these unintended or unexpected consequences where real people's lives are hurt, for no reason whatsoever, that, I think, crosses a line. That is wrong. And the those folks in Millersville and those folks in the Trump campaign should be ashamed of themselves, I think. And that's all I have to say about that. It is 5:10 p.m. We are not quite ready to take our first break yet, so we're going to introduce our guests today. We have got David and Cole. Today's topic, folks, is national security broadly, and more specifically, talking about NATO and how different presidential administrations may or may not approach our treaty obligations under the North Atlantic Charter. I'd like to start off by having our two panelists introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about themselves, especially their experience in this field, because I think it's important that we have a well-informed discussion. So, on my right, we have David. David, why don't you get us started?
Okay, yeah, I'm David Hicks. I'm retired United States Air Force, did 22 years, did a tour as a second lieutenant at NATO headquarters in Brussels.
Wow, David as a second lieutenant. I imagine what that must look like.
Well, yeah.
Made a lot of coffee.
You're right. And ran for a lot of donuts. Yeah. Did a lot of that, too. But then my second tour in Europe was at Ramstein, and we were assigned to NATO units. I was a captain then, so
okay.
I wasn't quite
so
as low ranked.
You weren't quite getting as much coffee.
Yeah, I wasn't quite getting as much coffee. But, you know, at least the NCOs would pretend
right,
to be nice
right,
to me.
Right,
you know? As a second lieutenant, you're like, yeah, you know. So, yeah, and I've always been very interested in this topic, and I have followed, obviously, the Soviet Union and now Russia, and so I am pretty well versed on this data.
And a lot of your military experience was during what we used to call the Cold War, right?
I'm a Cold Warrior.
Okay.
That pretty much shapes all of my outlook on Russia, which may make me a little biased.
Right. But it does seem to be getting a little chilly out there these days,
yeah.
though.
<right? laughs> Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. There may be a cold front coming in. So.
All right, David. And to his right, we have Cole.
Hi. So I've got 30 years in, retired. Spent most of that time in Asia. However, when I entered in, I'm old enough, so I'm also a Cold Warrior. When I entered in service, we were still in the throes of the Cold War. I spent my first couple of assignments focused 100% on the Soviet Union. Since then, since the fall of the Soviet Union, again, I spent a good bit of my career in Asia.
Had to have something else to do.
Huh? Had to have something else to do at the time. I mean, you know, once the Soviet Union fell, then it's China. However... I have served in Afghanistan, Iraq, Horn of Africa on combat deployments, and in each and every one of those, I was shoulder to shoulder with NATO troops. So I've served with NATO outside of the Cold War, so to speak, which to me really drills home the value of NATO. I mean, they were right there for us.
Right.
I've humped through valleys in Afghanistan with NATO partners, you know, so very.
And you were, if I recall correctly, you were actually in two branches of the service, as well as the civilian sector.
Yes, I started out in the Army. I saw Air Force base housing and decided that I had made a mistake.
Wanted all the comforts of home. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, in the Army, I didn't even. I mean, I was living outside basically. switched over to the Air Force.
That reminds me, I just want to interject this funny story because you mentioned the difference between the Army and the Air Force. I have a good friend who's Army, and on my last tour in Afghanistan, he came to the Air Force chow hall and was just highly incensed because he's like, wow, you Air Force guys have it rough because we had a chocolate fountain with fresh strawberries. And I'm like, hey, man, it's not my fault you chose the Army.
Right, okay? Exactly. Choose well, young men and women.
And it was tough on us because we only had one fountain and we had to stand in line.
Oh, wow. The sacrifices we make for our country.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Cole.
So I went in the Air Force, stayed in the Air Force for about 21 years. Left the Air Force and basically stayed in the same job as a DOD civilian, still doing combat deployments, still doing all those things, but as a civilian where they paid me twice as much for it, basically.
if not more.
So all in all, a 30-year career.
All right, so folks, we've got two experienced folks here. We're going to talk about these issues. We're going to take our first break right now. When we get back, we're going to get right into it. We'll talk a little bit about the history of NATO, what it's there for, and where it could be going in the future. So we'll be right back after these messages.
At the law office of Amanda J. Gentry, we are committed to defending your rights. We have a team committed to helping you navigate the court system, whether you've been accused of a crime or you're going through a messy divorce and custody. Call our team to help you navigate this system. We are here to protect your rights, to demand your rights, to enforce your rights. 615-604-6263. 615-604-6263. AmandaJGentry.com.
The Sumner County Anti-Drug Coalition, an organization dedicated to ending drug abuse, is now the Sumner Prevention Coalition. But their goal is the same, helping Sumner County residents with drug abuse problems turn their lives around and get on the road to recovery. Their mission is to unite people with vision, commitment, and resources to provide solutions to eliminate substance abuse and make a difference for youth, families, and individuals in Sumner County. The coalition and its staff of experienced professionals in the field envision a healthy, safe, and thriving community, free from substance abuse of all kinds, tobacco use, prescription drug abuse, and underage drinking. Find out how the Sumner Prevention Coalition can help you, and you can help the coalition. Visit them online at sumnercoalition.org. That's sumnercoalition.org.
WQKR. Portland is pleased to welcome Cole Lumber Company to our business community. They will now be this area's leading supplier of building materials. Operating since 1946, Cole Lumber, with their 7 Kentucky locations, has selected Portland as their first operation in Tennessee. And we are glad to have them here. Cole is 100% employee-owned. It is their goal to provide all of their customers with both quality building materials and friendly service. From a staff that is both knowledgeable and experienced, serving the needs of both contractors and homeowners, from building a dream home to a weekend project, Cole Lumber has the knowledge, experience, and materials to help you. No matter what you want or need, visit Cole Lumber Company, 462 North Broadway in Portland.
We have a saying here in the Tennessee Valley, if you don't like the weather, just give it a few minutes and it'll change, which is why you need a heating and cooling system that can keep up, like a high-efficiency electric heat pump that starts saving you money the minute you turn it on. And now that your local power company and TVA are offering 8% financing for up to 10 years, there's never been a smarter time to make the switch. So call your local power company or log on to EnergyRight.com.
Call CEMC and join the heat pump revolution today.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to the Loyal Opposition here on the mighty WQKR. It is 518 and 81 degrees out. Mostly cloudy, going down to 64 tonight. We are speaking with David and Cole, and we're talking about national security vis-a-vis different presidential administrations and focusing on our NATO treaty obligations in Europe and how those might change. So I suppose we probably should talk a little bit about exactly what NATO is and what it has done for us over the past, 80 years almost now? Right. So, Cole, why don't you start us off by giving us a lowdown on what exactly is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization?
So I'll make this very brief. This will be like not even the 101 NATO class, but essentially, NATO came out of the aftermath of World War II, and at that time, the Soviet Union deciding that it was going to sit on the territories and the sectors within Germany that it was given during the wrap-up of World War II. It became very clear once the war wound down that the Soviets weren't going to leave, and they were going to impose a communist form of government and were threatening to extend that into other areas of Europe. So in a nutshell, you know, the other countries of Europe, the UK, France, Italy, Greece, Turkey, Portugal, they all came together with the United States and Canada and said, you know, we've got to have something to defend against this, what we think will be a looming Soviet threat. And that in a nutshell, is where it came up. And then, of course, after that, the Soviets in their client states put together the Warsaw Pact, you know, but essentially it came from the aftermath of World War II and the Soviets not relinquishing the territory that they had occupied during the war.
Has it worked?
Has NATO worked? Mm-hmm. In my view, absolutely.
I would agree with that because we haven't had World War III.
Exactly. In an area of the world where going 80 years without war is probably some kind of record, I would think, right?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, Europeans have been hating each other for millennia. NATO has expanded over the years to include more nations, hasn't it?
We just added Sweden and Finland. Mm-hmm. And who would have? Neutral Sweden.
Right, I mean, Sweden known for its neutrality.
I mean,
that shocked me.
Me too.
I mean, Finland didn't surprise me at all. Yeah. But yeah, Sweden. Wow, because I've worked with some of the Swedish troops, and you know they have a history of extreme neutrality.
Right. And to me, that one thing right there highlights the modern relevance and importance of NATO. If Sweden is willing to join NATO after being historically, you know, incredibly neutral and independent, then it obviously has a purpose.
Sweden occupies some fairly significant strategic space geographically, right? And they have
control of the Baltic,
right? And they have a well-regarded armament industry, right?
Yes.
They make some good stuff,
yes.
Right? So that is valuable. And Finland, right? They have what, 1,000-mile border with Russia?
Correct.
And they're afraid.
Yeah.
And they're afraid that they might be next after Ukraine, right? And I imagine Poland's afraid. And I imagine a lot of places are.
Poland has upped their gross domestic product expenditures to 4%.
4% of their national GDP focused on military.
They have openly stated they're preparing for war with Russia by 2029. That's their goal.
Yeah.
5 years.
Latvia, Estonia, I mean, they're
Lithuania,
they're very, very concerned at this point.
Yeah, well, they've been occupied how many times? By the Russians,
right.
First by the Tsarists, and then the Soviet Union, and then the Germans, and then, yeah, I mean, they've just had it bad.
Right, right.
Okay, so, question, why should we care in Portland, Tennessee?
So, I'll kick this off. Europe is the largest trading bloc in the world. We have shared values with Europe. We have a shared sense of democracy, even though around the edges we have disagreements, you know, about things within the broader framework of government. But generally speaking, we agree. Europe also, I mean, for most of us in this country, the vast majority of people in this country, we have ancestry in Europe, so it's culturally significant to us. Europe comes to our defense when we need it. You know, I'll just go ahead and bring this up now, right at the very beginning. 9/11 happened. NATO stood up immediately. Again, I've served with NATO troops ever since then, you know, around the globe. NATO did not hesitate. There was no hesitation whatsoever.
In fact, and Chuck, I think you know about this, part of the NATO treaty basically stipulates that when one NATO member is attacked, the others go to their rescue, right?
Yeah, I would only add what Cole said is just historically, from a purely military perspective, there has not been any major wars in Europe that have not spilled into us. Since, and even in the 1800s, you know, some of those early wars, like, you know, the Seven Years' War. I mean, it involved us.
Right. The French and Indian War in the 1760s was actually an extension of the Napoleonic Wars going on in Europe.
And so it's this is something that I think a lot of people don't realize. Nothing new is going to happen that hasn't happened historically at some point. If you know your history and you're smart and you can synthesize information and think critically, you can kind of figure out what can happen because all the conditions today have existed in previous times. And pretty much the same thing happens. You know, we are actually experiencing right now with Republican resistance to supporting Ukraine,
exactly what happened in World War II. The primary people that resisted us getting involved in World War II were the Republican Party. They were the isolationists.
It was. Some of them called it Mr. Roosevelt's War, as I recall.
Exactly. And so, being a part of NATO, you know, who knows? If we had been a part of the League of Nations, we might not have had World War II. You know, but we opted out of that, and the next big war came. So I think we are a stabilizing influence. We, you know, are a little stronger than most of these countries. But together they do represent a formidable force that I think deterred World War III throughout the Soviet Union's tenure.
Absolutely.
So NATO sounds like a good thing. All right. It's kept the peace. And we obviously play an integral part in NATO. There has been talk that under a Trump administration, this might change. What is the speculation about a second Trump presidency? And actually, speculation is kind of based to some extent on the first Trump presidency.
Yeah, during the first Trump presidency, a big deal was made by the administration on NATO not paying its fair share. There is a clause in the NATO treaty that stipulates member countries will maintain a 2% of GDP defense expenditure, so that no one country is pulling all the slack, you know, for everybody else.
Right.
From day one, that has not been adhered to, admittedly. However, that has been done in other ways. During the Cold War, when you had a large number of troops stationed in Europe, the host nations provided a tremendous amount of the infrastructure and support to maintain those troops. That was not counted in the 2% defense GDP, but it was tremendous expenditures on educational facilities for our DOD children overseas. They built housing for our troops. I mean, you could go on and on and on. So practically every single NATO country during that time, actually, if you look at gross expenditures beyond defense expenditures, they were expending a lot more than that. They had to keep rebuilding the roads because we keep tearing them up with tanks. We paid for some of that, but they also took up a large part of that burden. Fast forward a little bit, or fast forward to the end of the Cold War, everybody started ramping down at defense expenditures, including us for a while. NATO countries, the European NATO countries, decided, since, you know, the end of the Cold War, a lot of the politicians said, okay, we're going to take some of that money we were putting into NATO support, and we're going to plow that into our own programs here, social programs, more infrastructure programs, whatever you want to call it. So defense spending for almost all NATO countries, including us, was either stagnant or reversed a little bit right after the Cold War. And that has stayed. I mean, our spending has increased, especially since 9/11, obviously. But until Ukraine, a lot of the European defense spending was relatively stagnant at that lower post-Cold War level. Ukraine, 9/11 and Ukraine really changed that. But going back to the previous administration, so they made a big deal out of NATO not paying its fair share, and if you're not paying your 2%, we have no intention of defending you. On one hand, I get it, but it's a very, very, very narrow-minded view of the benefits we get from NATO. NATO, I mean, if everybody spent 0.5%, you know, got down that low, it would still be a bargain for us as far as the security we get, the help we get, even beyond defense. Because of our tight NATO partnership, we get intelligence on everything, from diseases to to terrorism, everything through that NATO intelligence network, trade policies and things, even because, again, because of that close relationship.
Right, it has economic benefits.
It has economic benefits. I mean, it's across the board. So we all benefit from it. I mean, it's a collective organization. So anyway, I mean, that's a long way to say that the last administration made a big deal about the NATO not paying its fair share. Now, I hesitate to even bring this up, but those talking points kind of originated on the eastern side of the old
The old Berlin Wall.
The old Berlin Wall. Yes,
that's, the Iron Curtain.
That's kind of where those talking points originated from, because China, Putin, others would like nothing more than NATO to dissolve. I mean, that would be, you know, that would be the best thing that could happen to China or Russia.
So leaving NATO would be in their best interest.
Absolutely.
Chuck,
anything
you
that would weaken NATO.
Oh, absolutely. And I hesitate to think that administration, I think they were using it to try to encourage them to spend more. I don't think they could have gotten a removal of that treaty. I don't think Donald Trump could have actually pulled that off. I don't think the Congress would support that.
No, I agree. You know? I agree.
And another, I would just, the only thing I would add, Cole did an outstanding job. The only thing I would add about that is the state of our current military, because of long deployments in foreign countries, our equipment, in order to maintain troops overseas deployed, you got to cut into budgets for new equipment, for ammunition, for supplies. Currently, for every new aircraft coming online, we're retiring 5.
Yep.
Okay. And to the point that they had to come up with the new F-15EX as a stopgap because we just don't have enough planes to cover all of our missions and responsibilities at this point.
Right.
And so that can be rather problematic. So at this point, NATO is helping us as much as we helped them in the early Cold War. You know, now we have time to try to rebuild our forces and get back up, and space is a big issue, you know, and I think NATO's going to play a role in that. Anti-satellite weapons, they're way ahead of us.
Yep.
And that's dangerous. So, I mean, that technology sharing that we do within the NATO countries, I think, is also very beneficial.
And our defense threat, our national security threats from foreign countries has evolved with technology. You know, we grew up with two oceans and Canada and Mexico around us. I mean, fairly invincible.
Right. Right.
And then, of course, came ICBMs, which changed that. But it's so much more now. You know, everything moves at the speed of light. Commerce moves at the speed of light. Everything does. You know, we have cyber threats. We have, I mean, you could just go on and on and on. So we are no longer protected by our oceans by any means. And again, NATO, you know, no, the deterrence factor is, you know, if you take naked aggression against the United States, whether it be, you know, things blowing up or cyber or whatever, you know, we have those NATO allies, you know, they have our back. And our adversaries know that. Once that goes away, it's unpredictable. It's a free for all.
Yeah, I would agree. As we go forward, you know, there's even a new form of warfare called hybrid warfare, which is being practiced by the communist Chinese and Russia, and that's where they interfere. You know, it's a cyber threat. It's an electronic warfare threat. That is the future of warfare: drones, unmanned vehicles, and space. And we're
behind. And fake Facebook pages.
Yes. And again, NATO, our NATO allies have helped root that out because they're European and are physically closer and culturally closer to some, let's say, to Russia. They are better able to understand the Russian cyber threat. Now, we've got some fantastic people in this country. Don't get me wrong. We're on it. But they have the cultural closeness to get a little deeper into that threat than we do. I've worked some of those issues with them, and they're ahead of us. Our NATO partners are ahead of us in blocking the Russian cyber threat.
Wow. There's something to ponder while we take our next break. When we come back, more with David and Cole. You'll see the loyal opposition here on WQKR.
McDonald's presents Burger Reviews by Hamburglar. Today's review, the hotter, juicier, classic burgers. Hamburglar, the time is yours.
Bravo, bravo.
He said, these are McDonald's best burgers ever. And then, can I keep them? And then he just grabbed them and ran away.
Bravo.
It's your time to run, too. Get your McDonald's favorites. Enjoy this delicious deal. Buy one Big Mac, double cheeseburger, or McDouble. And get another one for $1. Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Here's an important message from Portland Natural Gas. Always looking out for your safety. Think you have a gas leak? First, evacuate the area. Don't use matches, electrical switches, flashlights, or telephones. And report it immediately by calling Portland Natural Gas at 325-6776. If you think the leak is serious and a real danger is present, call 911. Portland Natural Gas, looking out for your safety and providing cost-efficient heating and cooling for Portland residents.
Now you can join Planet Fitness and get the PF Black Card for zero enrollment, $24.99 a month, and get all the perks.
I love perks.
Do you love having access to 2,000 plus locations?
Yes.
Bringing a friend every time?
Hashtag friend goals.
And recovering with massage chairs?
Who doesn't?
Get the PF Black Card and feel fit-tacular. Zero enrollment, $24.99 a month. See club for details.
If you're on Medicare, here's exciting news. The Medicare annual enrollment period is just weeks away. Portland has a local trusted advisor who can help seniors sort through all the confusing aspects of Medicare, and there are a lot of changes in cost and services this year. Kyle Doris and Medicare Insurance Advisors can help you make sense out of all the plans and supplements. Best of all, the advice and service from Kyle and MIA doesn't cost you a penny. Give them a call at 615-325-0064 or visit Kyle at 621 South Broadway.
The Medical Center at Franklin is proud to serve the Franklin-Simpson County community. More than just a hospital, the Medical Center at Franklin offers the care you need close to home. From primary care to routine screenings like mammograms, colonoscopies, or lung cancer screenings, we take care of your emergency needs, offer school-based care, and even cancer and rehab services. Visit medcenterhealth.org/franklin to learn more.
The Beatles?
Pat Benatar? Survivor?
The Who?
Led Zeppelin!
Reminds me of the stuff I grew up listening to, you know, reminds me of being a kid and stuff.
WQKR plays the music you grew up with. Great rock and roll and pop hits from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It's fun to listen to. Fun contests and great prizes, too. All day, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
WQKR. WQKR.
It's reminiscent. It's the stuff that you grew up with.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Loyal Opposition. I'm your host, Len Asante, here at WQKR in Portland, Tennessee. It is 5:39 p.m., 81 degrees, going down to 64 tonight. And we're speaking to David and Cole, talking NATO, talking national defense, talking about our security situation. And how that could change, depending on who is in the Oval Office come 2025. We established kind of what NATO is and why it's important and valuable, both from not just a military aspect, but obviously from an intelligence and economic aspects there as well. So what are our, Cole, I want you to start, what What is our responsibility as being a member of NATO? What are our obligations? What do we have to do?
So all NATO members have to adhere to what's called Article 5. And Article 5 of the NATO Treaty, North Atlantic Charter, states that an attack upon one member, essentially it says attack upon one member is attack upon all, and then the collective security mechanisms will be triggered at that point. And that's what happened at 9/11. The United States was attacked. Immediately, the other NATO countries came up under Article 5 and said, one of our members was attacked, therefore all of us were attacked, and we will come forward to help the United States under our collective security responsibilities.
Were you guys busy on 9/12?
Yes.
Okay.
Pretty.
It got a little hectic.
Yeah.
People got a little concerned.
I was overseas, and at that moment I was in a place I wasn't supposed to be. Okay. So
you were just touristing.
Yeah, I was touristing. So I actually didn't really find out the full effects of everything for at least 24 hours because I was kind of
incognito.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. in a fashion. But yeah, it got pretty busy. But that Article 5, if I believe I'm saying this correctly, 9/11 was the first time in NATO history Article 5 was invoked, and it was to help us. So it wasn't us riding off to help some deadbeat NATO country who's not paying their bills. They all got up, the deadbeats included, they all got up and came rushing to our aid. So, you know, there you are.
And so, Chuck, we think Vladimir Putin has read this document, huh?
Yeah. The Article 5, I think, deters him to a certain degree, but there is also, in order to join NATO, you can have no current territorial disputes, meaning Ukraine cannot join NATO. They're in the middle of a war.
Right.
Okay? And Vladimir Putin has used that against NATO because some of the former Soviet republics, primarily Georgia and some of the oblasts around there and then some of the smaller groups, had started sending out feelers, hey, we want to join NATO. And so he immediately starts a conflict.
It's funny how those territorial disputes just all of a sudden
popped
up. And
now they can't until they are resolved. And there are Russian troops in multiple different former Soviet republics currently. They're not just in Ukraine.
Right.
You know? And Ukraine was...
Moldova comes to mind.
Yeah. And Ukraine was taken out of play when the Crimea was... seized.
Right.
And the administration in charge of that, in my opinion, did not handle that very well. And that was a Democratic administration. I think they should have been a little stronger. But at the time, we were into our necks in Afghanistan and Iraq, so maybe that was why. But there you go. That's kind of my opinion on that.
No, I would totally agree with that.
You know, I think...
In hindsight, we let the Crimea situation get out of hand. We could have done more. We all could have done more.
Right. When we say we, it's really the big we.
It's the big we. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And eventually, you know, Russia has to be stopped. You know, I mean, Vladimir Putin has consistently, since he got into office, and he's made it very clear, he plans to reacquire all the territory of the former Soviet Union. He considers it traditional Russian lands, but he also includes in that a lot of the old Tsarist Russia,
right?
Which comes way into Western Europe.
Right, Western Europe, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And this is why a lot of these small countries are getting so worried. You know, they're afraid.
And in addition to that, so again, why does NATO matter? You've got Russia that is absolutely expansionist right now. I don't know how much longer they can afford to be, but they are expansionist at the moment.
That would make another great show.
Yeah,
we could do a whole show on that. Yeah,
Russia is extending itself pretty hard in all
yes.
of its current.
Yes. But you also have that's from a European security standpoint, but which also impacts us. But look across at China. Now another huge benefit of NATO and more broadly, our relationships with our European allies at the end of the Cold War, we put together a liberal economic trade economic and trade system basically for the world, right, which benefits us.
Talking the Marshall Plan?
The Marshall Plan was rebuilding Europe, but yeah. but the whole liberal and when I use the word liberal, it's not in liberal, you know, liberal or conservative. It's in a free market based
right.
economic system.
World trade.
Yeah. So we, with our European partners, instituted that program after World War II, and that, I mean, in a nutshell, that has led to the prosperity we have today.
Right.
Absolutely, 100%. Now, China is becoming a major world power. They had no part in writing that or participating in that, and they don't see the world like we do. Mm-hmm. I won't go too far into this because this is another long, long, long discussion.
Sure.
But China is not a big fan of the current world liberal economic order. So what they would like to do is be strong enough to start changing that system to benefit the Chinese Communist Party. Here again, NATO, it's not just in, you know, China, this is not just Asia. This impacts the entire global economic sphere.
Right.
NATO is another hedge against that. So Russia presents a clear and present danger to Europe's East. China presents a clear and present danger to the larger global economic order, which in itself is a national security threat.
Let me ask you a question. Aren't they trying to supplant the dollar with, what do they use, the yuan?
It's the renminbi, the yuan. You know, yeah. It translates to people's currency.
Okay.
So, you know, we don't want to use people's currency. Yeah. Trust me, I've done it. You don't know. It's, so these are the things we're facing as a country, the big things. And there's a lot of little things. We have terrorism. We have, you know, lone actors. There are a lot of other threats in the world, but the
right.
major, major existential threats is where NATO comes in. And we have two major existential threats right now, which is China and Russia. And we could not face those alone. I mean, we cannot. There's no way.
Well, Donald Trump talks a good game about hating China.
Well, there's a lot of business being done by the Trump Organization in China. So, but to be fair, you can do both.
Right.
You know, we all buy things from China too. You
right.
know?
Our economy is pretty intertwined. I'm
yeah,
not sure
yeah,
we
they're,
can really
yeah, they're fairly
just
intertwined.
Cut them out.
You couldn't go to Walmart anymore, pretty much. Right.
Right.
But we
just
about
any.
But Trump has been rather less concerned with Putin, it seems like, based on his rhetoric and what he said over the years.
Well, you know,
I don't know if they're buds or not, but he certainly has expressed respect.
I was recently reading, and I haven't read the whole book, but McMaster's new book about his time as the National Security Advisor, and he did make a statement in his book that he was always troubled by the fact that President Trump seemed to get along best with international figures who were not as open to their people's input.
That's a good way to put
You're
it.
Despots. You're despots.
Well, you know, and that's all a matter of perspective.
Right, of course.
Right?
Of course.
So
right.
that's right. But that was now that's not me. That's just you know,
that's
General McMaster.
Right.
And that was his opinion. Right.
But you've met McMaster.
Yeah, I did.
So
you've had a long time ago at the War College, mm-hmm. and I had a class with him. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really good friends with him or anything, but you know, he was very much a class leader. He is a leader. Huh. You know, he's not just a manager. He's a leader, and he's charismatic, and he's brilliant. And you know, I consider myself kind of intelligent, but he made me like an idiot.
Wow.
You know, I mean, he just really knew his stuff.
Okay.
And I had a couple conversations. He did not suffer fools. Okay? If you were an idiot.
Yep, I've seen those.
You know, he was like, you know, I haven't got time for you. You know, so if he would take time to talk to you, that was kind of considered a compliment.
That was a compliment,
in
right.
that class, yeah.
He considered you worthy of conversation.
Yeah, at least you had ideas that weren't completely numbskulled, you know.
Right.
So.
Right. All right. So put it on your reading list, folks. McMaster's book, sitting on my table at home right now. Can't remember the title off the top of my head.
It's, I can't remember the title either. I just got the book in, you know, today and read, like, the first chapter. I saw it. I wanted to read it because I have a lot of respect for that man. You know, he's a 3-star general, and, you know, you got to respect that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's next?
So, I'll throw something out there on this. While I do believe that all of our defense-related allies should do their fair share isn't always writing a check. And like I said earlier, when we had large numbers of troops stationed in Europe, a lot of their support that our European partners provided, I mean, tremendous amount, that was off the defense books.
Right.
Not necessarily so much now, but we do need to ensure that our allies do pay up, because the free rider issue problem is real. It exists. You know, if, you know, why should I pay if you're going to do all the work for me? you know, that's a real thing. It exists. Sure. Every country has fewer tax receipts than problems. Therefore, sure, you know, money is divided, you know, 50 cents has to be divided 27 different ways in every country. So I get that. And we should continue to dialogue with our partners to make sure that they're pulling their fair share. But their fair share is not necessarily a check. It's just not the way it works. And another thing that you hear from the previous administration is there was a very strong through line, just like the current discussion on tariffs, that they write us a check, that the Europeans write that 2% of their defense spending is in a check that's given to the U.S. Treasury. That has never been true.
Right.
Tariffs. Right. Tariffs, the foreign country doesn't pay the tariff. We pay the tariff. So there's a lot of misperception. But bottom line is, yes, we should make sure that there's not a free rider problem. But there isn't at the moment.
No, definitely. You were seeing drastic increases over the 2% required because they're worried.
Yeah.
You know? And I think the advantages far outweigh the disadvantages of NATO membership.
Gotcha.
But I'm an old Cold Warrior. I was part
same,
of NATO.
Same here. Yeah.
It, you know, so I will admit maybe I'm a little biased, you know, but he's right about how much they spent. I remember our barracks and bachelor officer quarters were the best that I ever had was in Germany. Far better than here stateside.
Absolutely, yes.
They were newer. They were nicer. They just
and they were built by the Germans on
yes,
their dime.
Yes, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they owned those bases.
Right.
And, so,
and maintained them, yeah.
Yeah.
If we left NATO, we wouldn't have access to those bases, would we?
Probably not.
Not guaranteed.
Okay. Yeah, we could always try to negotiate for that.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean. And NATO hasn't always went along with us. You remember the strikes in Libya?
Right.
When our F-111s had to fly around.
We had to fly around Europe, yeah.
Yeah, because yeah. they didn't want us to be part of that. They didn't want to
they didn't
be
want
part
to be,
of it.
They didn't want to be part of that, right.
Yeah, and so,
that, that
you
wasn't
know,
a NATO issue.
So,
right.
I mean, it's not perfect.
Right.
But I think the advantages are better than the disadvantages, okay. is where I would put it.
By a long shot.
Yeah.
And that's as probably.
I sleep better at night being part of NATO.
Absolutely.
It's pretty much as close to perfect as you're going to get in this world, I guess, when the advantages
are right,
exactly.
the disadvantages. Yeah, it's, right? There are going to be issues. We're always going to have things we need to negotiate with our NATO partners and like that. That's always going to be true.
But it's not just as simple as just writing a check.
Nope.
It seems like.
And the check doesn't come to us. Right. It never
and this seems to be a trend in politics these days, and I'm not going to pin this on any one particular politician or party, but we sort of take these very complicated issues and we boil them down to these very simple sort of sound bites. this is good, this is bad, right? Where actually, in reality, there's often shades of gray and advantages and disadvantages.
I agree with that fully. That's one of the things that frustrates me is they try to make these broad, sweeping right. generalizations. When, in fact, you should look at it, here's a slider. And if, you know, the more involved we are with NATO, we're going to get some advantages and the disadvantages. And then if you slide it the other way, and you have to try to look, it's like trying to balance your stereo. You remember when you had the little...
Ah, the faders,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you, know, you, right. had to, you had to try to control all the sounds mm-hmm. and all the volumes.
The equalizer.
The yes, yeah, that's all done automatically now for you.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's like that. We have to, nothing is more frustrating when I hear somebody parrot this one broad generalized statement, like that's just going to solve everything. And
yeah,
I just don't see that.
We need, you know, the American people now are getting used to bumper sticker slogans and bumper sticker
and memes.
Solutions.
Right.
And memes.
Memes,
yeah.
Right.
It is, folks, it is far more complicated than that. Best thing you can do is, you know, subscribe to a major newspaper and, you know, read a well-written article. Don't get away from a bumper sticker.
Yeah, I think that's probably some valid advice. And there's, you know, there's a lot of criticism of the media out there, there is still good journalism out there if
there
you look
is.
For it. You have to look for it a little bit more. It's not as easy as just turning on your favorite channel or picking up your favorite newspaper as it used to be, but it is still out there. You have to do a little work.
Ah, for the days of Walter Cronkite.
I was just getting ready to say, Walter doesn't come into my living room anymore.
Walter doesn't come into your living room anymore, and that's a business decision. That's an economic decision, but that doesn't mean...
Well,
that,
he's dead.
Right. Yeah, there's that, too.
yeah, that kind of has something to do with it,
the next generation of Walter yeah. isn't as well. Folks, we are just about out of time, but I think what these guys said towards the end when they said they sleep better at night, knowing that we're in NATO, probably sums up this discussion as much as anything else could. So if you value your national security and our connections with the greater world, both military and economic, that is something to think about. All right, we are just about out of time. Next up, Triple Play Sports live here on WQKR. Next week, we've got candidate Jesse Walker is coming to speak to us. He's running for the Goodlettsville City Commission. We're looking at down at the southern part of Sumner County next week. So until then, have a wonderful night. This has been the Loyal Opposition here on WQKR.
At the Law Office of Amanda J. Gentry, we are committed to defending your rights. Being arrested doesn't have to be the worst day of your life. Being served with custody paperwork doesn't have to be the worst day of your life. It may feel that way, but if you have Amanda J. Gentry representing you, you can feel confident that you're going to have the best quality representation in all of Middle Tennessee. Amanda J. Gentry goes wherever justice demands. 615-604-6263. AmandaJGentry.com.
Sumner Regional Medical Center believes that every person has the right to dignity, respect, and compassion as we journey through the cycle of life. That's why they have created High Point Hospice. Our team of doctors, nurses, hospice aides, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers will walk by your side, offering support, providing symptom management, and answering questions to bring comfort and peace to you and your loved ones. For more information about High Point Hospice, call 328-6690.
Whether you're on your way to work in the morning and looking to grab a quick breakfast, or lunch break and wanting something good and hot and quick, or just hungry and not sure what you want, the one place you can always find what will work for you is Kirby Stop Market, 905 North Broadway in Portland. They're open 24 hours a day, offer both takeout and Grubhub delivery service, and have the biggest selection of fast food of anyone in the area. Fast food or home-cooked meals, Meat and two sides for just $6.49. Delicious Godfather's Pizza, three for $13.99. Fried chicken, chicken strips, livers and gizzards, hot, barbecued, and crispy wings, fish, potato wedges, onion.